Carter Subaru Studios. This is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, and a man who hears voices, says we have to get our government funded, is what he said. So he's got a plan to avert a shutdown. Spoiler alert, neoliberalism reigns supreme. Donald Trump has applied for 30 different bonds in an effort to get his debts paid off. He's been turned down 30 different times. Not looking too good. Looks like there's going to be some locks put on Trump Tower pretty soon. And also, Washington's got some new COVID information. But I heard tell that Trump is making January 6th a cornerstone of his bid for the White House. Laura, you put this in there. Thought to myself, Trump, January 6th? He had nothing to do with that. Why are we even talking about it? He was just giving a speech that day. Why is he even talking about it, right? But then you said we have some audio of him. This is the cornerstone of his campaign is to talk about the J6ers. Is we real patriots call them, by the way. These hostages that are being kept. These political prisoners for exercising their First Amendment rights to smoke cigarettes in the rotunda. Am I right or am I right? What did he have to say about it?
So this is at the Dayton, Ohio rally, from which a lot of audio is going viral.
Okay, I like this.
Please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages.
Had you not heard that before?
No. This is great. That's wonderful. I'm glad someone's sticking up for those boomers with their type 2 diabetes. Who went into the rotunda and threw trash everywhere.
You know how hard it is to climb through a first-story window when you're overweight?
I'm just saying, right? I mean, and first and foremost, how do we even know that they're really, you know, Trump? Because it was Antifa. So really, who's in prison right now is the Antifa people, which is something we should be celebrating. I realize I'm contradicting what I just said literally about a minute ago, but that's because I'm trying to stay consistent in the various narratives that are being woven in front of our faces in real time. Well, this is quite the embarrassment, right, for Donald Trump? I mean, I'm watching that he stood up and he was saluting, apparently.
He was. Well, because they have this, I'm glad we're not going to play the whole thing. And first off, that narrative, please stand up for the horribly treated. I mean, who do you think wrote that intro, huh? I think former President Trump wrote that himself.
No.
The horribly treated hostages of January 6th.
No. He wasn't even there, Spike. How would he even know?
For that rally? And then the former president stood up and saluted, which I give him as former commander-in-chief. He's got the right to put a salute. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's the J6 choir singing our national anthem, interspersed with, I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Right,
Trump reads the national.
The Gregorian chants. Can we play that again really quick, Laura? It's just, I want the Gregorian chants in the back. Which, Doesn't that sound, that's like, reminds me of when the Tibetan throat singers. Right. I just feel like this is not really the. If I was Trump's political campaign operator, I might say, listen, Donnie, J6, pretty bad optically. Doesn't make you look very good. It doesn't really make anybody look really good. You know, sure, some people were let in on the south side of the building, but then on the north side of the building,
smashing windows
and beating cops and whatnot.
Beating cops and so
generally, people who are pro-police are against people beating cops with American flags.
That's what we found over the years.
Polling suggests that many Republicans are against misusing the American flag, particularly as a weapon against our men and women in uniform.
Yeah.
So maybe we should, like, take a couple steps away from that and just keep going back to the whole I wasn't there thing.
Yeah.
That might be the best tactic.
Peace on both, good people on both sides. You know, they the promises of pardons to the J6 hostages.
They're still in the works.
Elise Stefanik goes on network television and refers to them as the J6 hostages.
They are hostages.
Yeah.
They're being kept against their will. They're leaning into this narrative. Well, it makes perfect sense to me because, you know, when you hit cops with American flags and when you try to take their guns from them and then when you, you know what's crazy
Bear
about
spray
this?
Them.
And so I always find this one, before we get to the, because I want to get into this Mike Johnson thing. There's a weird contradiction here, which is that people say, you know what they say about George Floyd? They say if George Floyd would have complied, he'd still be alive. I see that meme all over the place.
Yeah.
You see that meme, Laura? I see it all of the time. And I happen to agree with a certain sentiment within that. If you comply with a police officer, the chances of you not dying go up.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah. No need to put your knee on somebody's neck if they're yes officer.
Right. Exactly.
Why not? Can I be yes? Yeah.
So Ashley Babbitt is the only casualty, the only civilian casualty from that day that was actually, you know, killed by the police. I think a couple of other people had a heart attack. Someone had a meth overdose.
And then there were some suicides when
some
the following
suicides
days from the trauma of the day. Right.
Sure.
But Ashley Babbitt died that day from gunfire.
She took a 9mm right to the jugular from Officer Robert Byrd.
Right.
And the thing that I always want to point out to people is he told her don't climb the thing. He said get off the thing. He said back away from the door.
Well, stop or I'll shoot.
Stop or I'll shoot, because he was about 10 yards away from the Senate floor, and so he was being very serious. Wouldn't we say that if Ashley Babbitt had complied, she'd still be alive? I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just as a point of hypothetical speaking here, but we can get into that at a different point in time.
I agree with you completely.
Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who hears voices in his head and is not considered to be mentally ill,
yeah,
has decided to try to avert a government shutdown. Now, what's interesting about this is that when Kevin McCarthy tried to do the same thing, let me check my watch, about 10 weeks ago, he was kicked out of his job.
Yes, he was. And
because
right.
he was trying to cut a deal to try to, specifically a DHS deal. He mm-hmm. was trying to get the yeah. Department of Homeland Security funded so that they could do all this stuff. So that's what's funny about this is that Mike Johnson, who again hears voices in his head and is not in a mental insane asylum, he said, I had to make this deal specifically so that we could fund the DHS. And so I'm wondering if he's simultaneously doing this press conference and then also updating his resume.
And packing his stuff from the Speaker's office.
Right, yeah. Like Speaker of the House from, January 2024
yeah.
through to March.
To, yeah.
Kind of right. short.
Kind of short.
Wrong.
Sure.
He doesn't want to have a gap. You see what I'm saying? Because gaps look bad in a resume.
That's the second time he's done this in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And I take this as a sign of hope that the wackadoo portion of the Republican caucus isn't going to call for his removal for doing the job of keeping the government open. Because like you said, that's what cost McCarthy his cushy chair.
Right.
And this is the second time Johnson's done this in 2 weeks that he's actually, you know, erred on the side of practicality and common sense and done what is necessary. Because some of these guys want to just shut it down. They shut it
sure.
down because they want the issue, right?
I'm just saying that if I came on my radio show and I said, hey, you guys, you'll never guess, I heard a voice in my head last night.
You'll never guess who called me last night.
You guys will never guess who called me last night. Laura, Spike, you guys will never guess who.
Right in my, Jansley call you?
No, right in my head.
Wow.
No phone. I heard the voice of God. And he told me that I was going to be the Speaker of the House. That's what he told me, right? And isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Right. So he doesn't.
Good for you.
He didn't talk to the little girl who's got leukemia, telling her to keep a stiff upper lip, right, that she's going to get through it. Didn't talk to the little boy who's starving to death in Haiti. Didn't talk to him at all.
Not the mom in Gaza with five kids.
Not the mom in Gaza. He talked to me, rich white guy, and told me that I was going to be Speaker of the House. Isn't that so great? Isn't that wonderful? Wait, where are you guys going?
Far away.
Where are you guys going? I just think that the fact that we have someone who says that he literally talks to God, and we haven't all collectively said, so, Mike, listen, you know, there's really effective medications for that now, right? There's really effective treatments for those kinds of things.
Do you know you've got some of the best health care in America, and it comes with mental health care?
It's going to be amazing for
you. Did you know that? Access to therapists?
It's staggeringly good for you. Former President Donald Trump was spurned by 30 different companies in an attempt to get a loan for $554 million. The problem with this for Trump is that it's I'm imagining, because he has a long and storied history of having a hard time paying people back without borrowing money from somebody else.
Right.
That a lot of these bond companies and banks are just saying, we can't insure that money in case you don't pay us back. And because of that, it's too much of a financial liability. Now, you actually mentioned that the PR on this was going to be really bad if someone did do it, but I don't think that's the case.
Well, the company who does issue his bond,
yeah,
right? First off, there was a Chubb who issued the $91 million bond on the E. Jean Carroll case, which, remember, because he's already put up bond to appeal.
Chubb?
Chubb was the name of the insuring company.
It's not a very good name for an insurance company.
Yeah, you know, But it, so the Chubb organization, which I thought was appropriate.
Why can't they just do, like, I don't know, like Lions? Why can't it be masculine? Why does it have to be Chubb?
Lionsgate.
Right. Lion Chubb is pretty masculine if you look at it from a certain perspective. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, man. That there's, that, like, are we, Chubb is the kid from the Goonies. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Chunk. That was Chunk.
I understand.
Chunk's one of the 30 companies that turned him down. I don't know if you knew that.
Right, and then there's Short Round.
Short Round said no.
Short Round is in there, right?
Well, Trump filed, Trump's attorneys, I say, former President Trump, with all respect, all due respect, his attorneys filed an appeal to the court, to Judge Engron, if I got the name right. Engron, saying, look, it's impractical. It's impossible. We can't. This is a ridiculous number. We can't. We've asked 30 companies. And the AG countered with, well, you know, then take out a mortgage. Oh, you can't get a mortgage because everything you already have is already mortgaged to the eyeballs?
It's
that's not
rough.
On the AG's office, because Trump's attorneys are seeking relief, an extension of the coming up Monday deadline, or a lower number to post. But that's not how this stuff works. I mean, if you or I we had a judgment found against us and we needed to raise money in a hurry, we'd be required to do so or turn over our house.
I just feel bad for Trump now. I'm just starting to feel sad for him. Do you know what I mean? I'm just starting to feel a lot of pity for him. It's just, I feel bad for the guy because he's so, you know what I mean? You got the world against him and he's just trying to fix America. That's all he wants to do.
You know, he believes that.
He just wants to fix with 100% tariffs and these like neoliberal policies that are literally destroying the country. He just wants to fix America, and look what they're doing to that poor man. So what is going to happen if he can't pay his $454 million bond without a stay from the court? He's probably going to start seizing assets on Monday.
That's what the AG of New York, Letitia James, said. They will, you know, look, this is the process. This number wasn't hatched from thin air. This is a number derived from evidentiary proof, and a judge decided. You know how they come at that number 454, by the way? It's the ill-gotten gains of the fraud that he perpetrated on New York over decades.
Okay.
It's not like the bank lost $454 million, as Trump said the bank made them whole, but there's a law in the books that says, say, if you steal $100 and go gambling and make $100,000 with that, we don't just want the $100 back. We want the ill-gotten gains of your crime.
I see.
They say Trump made $454 million in profit on the fraud that he perpetrated over property devaluation or inflation over decades. That's how the number was derived at.
Can you imagine, though, you're the president of the United States 1 year and everybody wants your attention and you're throwing Jim Acosta out of a press conference and you're holding up a Bible in front of a church and you're the most important person on the planet, right, for about 4 years of your life.
Yeah.
And you're getting tons of praise from all you're getting Dan Bongino, you've got Mark Levine, you've got conservatives who said they'd never vote for you, who are now holding water for you.
Sure.
You got people lying for you all the time. Basically, you're at the highest of highs, right?
Sure.
You're kind of a proverbial Buzz Lightyear who doesn't understand that he's at just a toy. You know what I mean?
Yes,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
and then all of a sudden, Randy Newman comes in out of nowhere. Oh, no, it can't be true. I could fly if I wanted to. And then you jump off the stairs, proverbially speaking, and then you just collapse and fall to the ground, right? You know what I'm saying?
I thought I had a friend in
you. Do you know what I'm talking about with that song? That Randy Newman song is basically the entirety of Trump's life over the last, like, 7 years. Andrew, do you know what I'm talking about? That Randy Newman. It's this scene where Buzz Lightyear
falls to the floor in the bedroom.
He's about to jump off the stairs. Can you find that for us? Because, like, textually speaking, that is Donald Trump. He believes that he is something that he is fundamentally not, which is untouchable. He believes himself to be this literally kind of like an action hero in so many ways.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he runs up against the staircase of the judicial system, and he thinks that he can fly, and he's just plummeting right down to the ground.
Not Defying Gravity. That's the wrong musical.
That is
You're not
wrong
in Wicked. You're
musical.
Not Defying Gravity.
Exactly. So, sad day for Donald Trump. I hope he figures it out, and I hope things get better for him. Washington has decided to drop their 5-day COVID isolation rule. Now, the CDC released this information about 6 weeks ago. They said that you didn't need to isolate if you had mild COVID symptoms. And then Washington got the memo, and then it worked its way up through the bureaucratic chain of I don't know how many hundreds of government employees. And then it finally got to the Washington Department of Health.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to themselves, well, I guess if the CDC says it, that means it must be true. And so now if you have mild or moderate COVID symptoms, you can go to work. I don't recommend it. Dr. Z doesn't recommend it.
Nope.
But apparently that's something that you can do. If I had COVID symptoms, I'm going to go ahead and take the day off. I'm going to go ahead and not be coming to work because
you're a conscientious coworker.
Well,
right? Yeah, you don't come to work with the flu.
Well, I did come for a week.
Well,
because you weren't here. Well, you weren't here. You were on vacation.
I'm sorry. I put the whole company at risk, is what you're saying.
Well, because you were sick, and then you got me sick, and then you took off, and then I got sick, and then I was deathly ill, and then for some reason, nobody bothered to check in on my well-being, and everyone was like, yeah, so Spike's not here, Jack, so you're going to be doing this. And then you got to do two shows with Aaron Mason. We got to do one with Mike Lewis. And then you got to do the second show with Aaron Mason on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, because John's taking a vacation, now that you're going to have to do that show as well. Yeah. So two doubles back to back. Nary a thank you as I'm literally dying in front of this microphone. Where is the thank you to be had? Andrew did not thank. Laura did not thank. I didn't even get a thank you email from Brian Oakley's Buckaloo trying to say, hey, man, thanks for working.
You didn't get my postcard from the beach?
Nobody. Not a single human being thanked me for literally dying in front. As a matter of fact, somebody actually texted in and said, does Jack have a cot in the janitor's closet? Because I was doing like 8 hours a day. And nobody said, hey, gee whiz, Jack is like sweating bullets. The pit stains on his fitted hoodies are getting really bad. You know what I mean?
You were everywhere all at once.
Exactly. Yeah. And for
just over the Christmas break.
And for some reason, everybody just went, well, that's fine for that guy to die in the radio studio. Laura, you remember. You weren't here either, Laura.
I was
Laura.
Also on vacation.
You were on vacation. This is a conspiracy. You guys tried to kill me. But needless to say.
Would you feel better if you knew that we actually had a commissioned artist making a statue in case you dropped dead?
I appreciate that.
We did. We're going to have a nice statue. Our phone's about a foot and a half tall.
Point being, I should not have been coming to work that entire week. And so I don't think that this is necessarily a good thing for them to say this.
That you don't have to stay home if you got a milder case of COVID.
I don't think it's good. No, I don't. Because again, there are still, like Spike, if I was tested positive for COVID, I know that your wife has heart problems.
That's right. Compromised.
And COVID, when it sees somebody with a faulty valve, it's licking its lips. Sure. And it's going, give me them baby back ribs. This is the sound that happens every time COVID sees somebody.
Oh, that chicken and fat guys.
Literally, it's like, all right, hey, congenital heart disease. Woo! I'm having the best time of my life, baby.
I'm so glad you bring up that perspective is so important to hear because people are compromised all over the place. And I know that a lot of us are strong and they can take on the effects or the symptoms of a mild case of COVID, but not your grandma.
Well, somebody with like inflammation or heart disease. Heart disease,
right. And then you never know. When you touch here, I get sick there. I take it home to Melissa and all of a sudden I'm a widower.
Yeah. And that was my thought. And of course, when that happens, Spike, you're going to be like, all right.
No, not initially. No, I'll grieve on a beach.
All right. I just think that from what I know about this, I mean, I understand that it's like go to work, be at work. You know what I mean? Literally work until you die. I understand that that's the ethos that we have in the United States. I wouldn't follow these guidelines personally. If I had a positive case, I'd take minimum 3 days off.
Well, like I said, you're conscientious. Is this a backlash of over shutting it down?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's just what we're doing, right?
I think so.
We're over course correcting now, come to work sick because we can't shut down anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, Laura, you see what I'm saying here, right? I mean, people, when you're ill.
I was hoping we'd overcorrect the opposite direction. And even if you had the flu or something totally not COVID-y, you would stay home from work.
Right.
Because things go around the office or go around to school. And then we're all 1,000 times more miserable than we needed to be.
And no one thanks you when you do two shows in a day when you're literally dying. And nobody.
Is it too late to say thank you?
Yes.
We appreciate it.
Oh, shit, I'm good. Thank you.
It is a little late.
All right, so there's a delivery service that's expanding into the U District. Now, you might be saying, why do I care about a delivery service that's expanding into the U District? It's poison. It's literally, this is food that we should not be putting into our body. And Americans have an addiction to this food. And we need to talk about it because we don't talk about it enough. Everyone's always like, oh, Jack, you're such an elitist. Ooh, you blah, blah, blah. I'm not, though. I'm just saying that I've learned certain things about nutrition. And why are you laughing?
And you might be smarter than everyone.
I might be smarter than everyone.
You're willing to share your knowledge and experience.
Which we will discuss when we get back. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this.
If you take a hose outside somebody's window and they believe it's raining, I don't blame them.
Or based.
I was thinking about investing in llamas.
How's that working out, that llama
the
money?
The fun is great. Llamas are a great investment. Solid investment. Nothing but growth. Upward trajectory. Late night dessert delivery service is expanding to the U District for college cravings. Now, I didn't initially want to rip into this company because I thought I'm a respectable young man and I don't want to attack small businesses.
Sure.
Because small businesses are the lifeblood of this fine country. And then Laura said, actually, it's a huge chain. They got like 200 stores all over the place. And I thought, great, there's nothing I like ripping into more than our corporate overlords. So Insomnia Cookies is a they're going into the U District, and what they do is they make warm cookies for the children, and they're open. What time are they open to, Laura? You would know this. I don't know this.
Oh, I think like 3 a.m.
3 a.m. What? Who needs cookies at 3 a.m.?
College students, apparently.
So this is my issue with this idea, this whole thing. Like, I don't really – people can eat whatever they want to eat, right? People – I'm free market capitalism. You want to poison yourself and do whatever. That's totally fine. But at the same time, I think that we've embraced as Americans a culture of sickness and death that we don't necessarily need to have. There's a condition in – if you ever hear about this in the Ozarks, it's like weirdly relegated to this portion of the United States. It's called welfare mouth is what they call it.
Ooh.
Because I know it's a horrible way to talk about it, but basically what it is a bunch of people who are on food snaps or food stamps or benefits. They're on the SNAP program. They spend their money on so much sugary stuff that they end up needing a lot of dental care because basically their teeth completely rot away, right? Now, for some reason, we think that tea or food that permanently damages your teeth is in some way still good to consume, but we as Americans do it anyway. We know that Coke is bad for us. We do it anyway. Mm-hmm. We know that Slurpees are bad for us. We do it anyway. Snickers bars are bad for us. We do it anyway. Cookies are bad for us. And I'm not saying don't enjoy things every once in a while, but the volume at which Americans consume sugar and or high fructose corn syrup is you're basically your pancreas is like what is it?
White flag?
No, basically it's what's the scene from The Green Mile? I'm tired, boss. I'm tired, boss.
Yeah.
I'm real
John
tired.
Coffey.
John Coffey.
Doing tired, boss.
I'm real tired, boss. I just want to go lay down now. That's your pancreas every single day because all we do all day is poison it and drip feed it with high fructose corn syrup and sugar. And then people wonder why. We have the highest rate of diabetes in the world. We have some of the highest rates of obesity in the world. All of this, like the food that we have is literally killing us. And everyone's like, that's just the way it is. And I just think we need to change the way we talk about food.
So in this cookie chain, Insomnia Cookies, which is now setting up a bakery in the U District, apparently to serve
poison
that
your children.
It's like it's just a store. But they've got two-thirds to three-quarters of every one of their locations, and they've got hundreds, are all within proximity of a university. They're super serving the student market. Aren't college kids indestructible? Can't they eat any? They could eat a cardboard box and be fine.
I don't know. You ever hear about like the freshman 15? I mean,
they all seem to survive.
But what I'm saying is that these eating habits that we incorporate into our lives are bad for us.
I was
a total sugar addict. You know this about me. I used to get the two big old things of tapioca from Whole Foods. The big old double pinter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We call that the Wilford Brimley in my household. Sarah, get me the Wilford Brimley. I need two of those bad boys. This is what we do to ourselves, and people wonder why things are so, like, I'll give you an example. You know, being of that size or having those maladies in many ways is a choice. And a lot of people don't know that you can control your diabetes through diet, type 2, not type 1.
Okay.
But it's what we do to people is we say, don't change your eating habits. Don't eat fresh food. Don't eat whole food. Just inject insulin into your body so that you can digest that. Do you think the madness that is? Your body doesn't make it anymore. You need to stop having Cokes 18 times a day. And you go, nope, I'd rather inject my body full of insulin rather than try to kickstart my pancreas again.
What if Coke came out with it? I mean, you got cherry Coke, you got the vanilla Coke, you got the
diet Coke.
What about insulin Coke? Coke with insulin already in the recipe in the can.
I'm pretty sure that would kill you, O'Neill. I'm almost positive that you would die.
Okay.
But I mean,
I'm not a marketing guy.
The argument that I'm trying to make here is
that we're fat. And we should stop doing this to ourselves.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but also we need to stop celebrating companies that do this to us. Like we literally pay to be sick. You ever think about that, Spike? Like we literally pay good money to be sick. And people wonder why, like, you ever see people, they eat a whole thing of whatever it is for dessert, and they're like,
Why did my tummy hurt empty bin of
I went out to breakfast with a good friend of mine and his lovely wife, who I am a big fan of this couple. They're an older couple. They're very, very successful. They have their own business. They invited me out to breakfast. I said, sure, I'll go out to breakfast for you. They get a nice breakfast bar at this big, fancy hotel. We go in there. There's all kinds of meat selection. They got the prime rib for breakfast. Wow. You got vegetables for breakfast. You get a nice, healthy omelet out there. His lovely wife, who I'm a big fan of, she decides that she's going to go over to where they have the cheesecakes and the pancakes.
The pastry bar.
Oof. And she's loading up on nothing but carbs and sugar. About 15 minutes into our delicious breakfast, all of a sudden she goes, oh, no, I think I might have to go lay down.
I've overdone it.
I think I might have. I'm getting a sharp pain right in my side. I don't know what it is.
My fourth boysenberry cheese Danish may not be agreeing with me.
Right. That is your pancreas saying, get me out of here. I'm leaving. Right. And I'm not coming back. Everyone is so conscious of this. It's weird. Everyone knows that what we put into our bodies is bad for us. And they do it again, day in, day out. And when I bring it up to people, they go, oh, Jack, you elitist. Oh, Jack, you think it's so easy to eat healthy? Yeah. Yeah, I do it every day. It's super easy. It's actually amazingly easy. I just avoid. You see that when you flip the bag around, if it's got more than 5 ingredients in it, I don't buy it.
You step away.
I don't buy it. I just, if it starts saying high fructose, if it starts saying corn, whatever, I just don't get it. I just go, no, thank you. I'll do something else.
If I've got Ozark mouth or whatever.
Welfare mouth.
In the Ozarks, are there options, healthy options for those folks? A lot of times people live in communities that don't have grocers, don't have access to really good, healthy foods. They live in garbage food deserts. They call them food deserts, right?
That's a weird, I don't think that's a real thing.
That is a, food desert is a real thing.
How is it a thing?
Because have to travel so far to get to a grocery store that sells fresh food. Right, you only have like a dollar store or canned goods.
People say that about like LA County, where they're like, oh, LA County is a food desert. And I'm like, no, it's not.
There's not any good chefs. That's what they mean.
Anyway, you guys think that I'm an elitist about this, which is why neither of you chimed in. We're like, yeah, Jack, you're totally right about this.
No, we come on.
Because you're over there on your 18th cup of coffee.
Vanilla coffee.
And Laura's subsisting on Doritos all day long. And so what position does this put me in? Andrew, back me up on this. Just say I'm right. That's all you got to say, is that I'm correct about this.
You are correct.
Thank you, Andrew.
The lone voice of health sanity right here, Jack Stein.
888-973-5476, the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. You can ask us any question that your heart may desire. What kind of skincare product do I need? And who's accepting home loans? We can talk about all that, except for the fact that I ripped that off of the televisions that are in the studio. When we get back right after this. There are no stupid questions.
There are only stupid answers.
Ah, yes, no stupid questions. And there's something wrong with my headphones. What's wrong with my headphones? Cancel the show. I'm never coming back. What's going on with this? Laura, why am I working in these conditions? I'm a professional. Does Brad Pitt have to worry about his own headphones? I don't think so. You're fired. I'm kidding.
Brad has a stunt head. They come in and try the headphones on first to make sure they fit right, they apply them.
What kind of rinky-dink operation we have here where a man takes
I'll
off...
I'll bring my silver platter tomorrow.
Thank you.
With your fresh headphones
Thank
on
you.
Them.
I appreciate that. No stupid questions. Fun segment we like to do. It's my favorite segment because we get to talk directly to the audience. Jack, can you please ask Jack why Jack Smith hasn't prosecuted Trump for January 6th yet? Wasn't there a J6 committee led by Cheney that found Trump guilty of something? So, complex question to answer here. Intent is a very difficult thing to prove when we're talking about crime or what someone can actually be prosecuted for. And even though there were a lot of people who came out and gave testimony about Donald Trump's activities on January 6th, It'd be very difficult to get, one, an unbiased jury, two, any kind of court proceeding that could actually facilitate what crime he actually committed that day. Then Spike is skeptical here.
I have a different take on why he hasn't prosecuted J6 yet, because we live in America where everyone is entitled to protection under the law. And President Trump's legal team has availed themselves of the appeal process.
Okay, yeah.
Their appeal, he's arguing his case for immunity from charges of alleged crimes committed during his presidency,
right,
which he deems were in the service of his duties as president.
Well, I was actually
and even
thinking,
Donald Trump gets to stay in court.
I misread the question. I thought people were talking about like the incitement to riot, so on and so forth, all that other
that's
stuff.
That's all part of the J6 charges.
No, I understand, but like I think that's one of the reasons why this is such like a weird case.
It's
is because
very
it's
complicated.
Very complicated.
It's
very
unprecedented. Absolutely.
On crime stats, didn't the SPD recently say their stats are different because less crime that is happening is having reports filed on it? Yes. So the other thing that's going on, well, that's kind of hyper-local, but we were talking about crime stats in a general sense are going down. In Washington State, they're going up. But the problem with that still is that less people are actually filing reports about crimes that happened to them.
Yeah, well, when you call the police department after you've had a property crime or an assault and they say we don't have the manpower resources to reply to you, eventually you stop calling the cops when people keep breaking into your business or your home.
Yeah. Are unions killing business in Washington State? No. So Washington State last year was rated as the second best state in the country to do business in. It has an A rating in terms of economic output compared to almost every other state in the union. Washington State does very, very well for itself. And technically speaking, unions are very, very good for a huge swath of the population because greedy mega corporations will literally rape and pillage the land and also their workers if they do not have collective bargaining. I understand that people don't like that. I don't necessarily like it either. But when you have these greedy megacorps that don't care about you as an employee, yeah, supermarket workers are going to unionize because they want to keep their jobs and they have rights as workers that people are entitled to. And if corporations aren't going to appreciate that, yeah, unionize. Yeah, get yours, dude. Because if you have to argue and bicker over a 50-cent raise on your own behalf, that's tiring. That's exhausting.
Or a safe work condition.
Or a safe work condition or whatever.
I'll go you one further. When the UAW reached their agreement with the big three automakers last summer,
yeah,
all the non-union manufacturers, they followed suit because they didn't want to, like Honda or Toyota or whoever it was.
Yeah.
They also raised their employees' their wages and benefits because they didn't want to lose their guys to union shops. So unions helped everybody in that field.
Why is it that coal miners in West Virginia who vote MAGA overwhelmingly, why is it that those same guys they'll say, I'll die for the 176? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The relationship that Americans have to unions has been distorted since about the 1940s. And just to give people a really quick example, when I was working in archival footage, restoring and digitizing archival footage, I came across an educational film that was shown in movie theaters before the feature would play.
Yeah.
It's from 1947.
It's a newsreel type stuff?
It's a newsreel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a dramatized short in which a man is farming, and he's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, wearing overalls, and he's on his farming equipment. And then a seedy Cadillac pulls up out of nowhere, and they get out of the car. And who is it but two men, ethnic in origin, are talking to this guy about how he's got to unionize, how he's got to join the union. Now, they're probably Turkish-looking actors or something like that. But clearly the racial, you know, division here was highlighted. And when this proud American says, no, I won't unionize. I own my own property, you commies. They take him behind an oak tree and they beat him to death.
Put the whooping on him.
They beat him to death.
Oh, my God.
And that movie was shown that short was a newsreel that was shown throughout the country to try to convince people that unions were bad. Because at the time, the film industry was trying to break apart the unions.
Dang.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I had no idea that was practiced.
The thing Americans don't really understand, if you're anti-union, you don't have the empathy for people who are in a position against a megacorp, and you don't understand that megacorps don't care about their employees, which is why unions are necessary for many different industries.
There you go.
Also, have I heard what Keith Olbermann said about Donald Trump? I did. Should he be banned from X? Nope. It's a free speech platform. Free speech platform. If he wants to threaten to kill somebody, he can do whatever he wants to do, right?
What he did?
Did you not hear? No, he made vague allusions.
Okay, I love vague allusions.
And also, free speech platform is, it has a terms of service that says if you threaten anybody, you get kicked off of it. But that's free speech, right? We're protecting free speech by leaving Keith Olbermann up on the thing, unless you don't believe in free speech, which would make you a hypocrite. Bob Rivers is coming on, wants to talk about how electric vehicles are the future, even though he's wrong. And also, Finland is the happiest nation again, United States sliding down in the rankings. Why is this? Mr. Rivers knows when we get back right after this.